ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Oh, my Lord Shri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, the creation, chapter 1, questions by the sages, today's text number 3. Nigamakalpataror galitang palam. Nigamakalpataror galilang palang. Shukamukhadamrita dravasangyatam. Shukamukhadamrita dravasangyatam. Apipata bhagavatam rasamalayam. Pipata bhagavatam rasamalayam. Muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaham. Muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaham. Nigamakalpataror galitang palang. Shukamukhadamrita dravasangyatam. Pipata bhagavatam rasamalayam. Bahuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaham. Nigamakalpataror galitang palang. Shukamukhadamrita dravasangyatam. Pipata bhagavatam rasamalayam. Mahuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaham. Nigamakalpataror galitang palang. Shukamukhadamrita dravasangyutam. Pipata bhagavatam rasamalayam. Mahuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaham. Ladies. Nigamakalpataror galitang palang. Shukamukhadamrita dravasangyutam. Apipata bhagavatam rasamalayam. Muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaham. Nigama. The Vedic literature. Kalpataroho. The desire tree. Galitam. Fully matured. Phalam, fruit. Shuka, Srila Shukadeva Goswami. The original speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mukhat, from the lips of. Amrita, nectar. Drava, semi-solid and soft. And therefore easily swallowable. Sangyutam, perfect in all respects. Pipata, do relish it. Bhagavatam, the book dealing in the science of the eternal relation with the Lord. Rasam, juice, that which is relishable. Alayam, until liberation, or even in a liberated condition. Muhu, always. Aho, oh. Rasikaha, those who are full in the knowledge of mellows. Bhuvi, on the earth. Bhavukaham, expert and thoughtful. So this is Srila Vyasadeva in his ecstasy. This is a very juicy verse, literally, figuratively, always. Translation, O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. Please repeat, O expert and thoughtful men. Relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desired tree of Vedic literature. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. Now, this purport is 1, 2, 3, 4 pages. I'm going to try to read the purport because it's so juicy. I don't think even I won't fall asleep. I better not. I'm reading it, right? Although that used to happen in the old days. Sometimes we get so little sleep, we'd fall asleep. I once saw a guy fall asleep dancing on Sankirtan. That was wild. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in the winter of 71, he was moving his legs, but the top of him was snoring. That was mystical. It's the old days. Okay. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the two previous shlokas, it has been definitely proved that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the sublime literature which surpasses all other Vedic scriptures due to its transcendental qualities. It is transcendental to all mundane activities and mundane knowledge. In this shloka, it is stated that Srimad Bhagavatam is not only a superior literature, but is the ripened fruit of all of Vedic literature. If you're following along on your computer or your book, I choose to leave off the S on literatures, because it's either way, and I'm partial to singular. Anyway. In other words, it is the cream of all Vedic knowledge. Considering all this, patient and submissive hearing is definitely essential. With great respect and attention, one should receive the message and lessons imparted by the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vedas are compared to the desire tree because they contain all things knowable by man. They deal with mundane necessities as well as spiritual realization. The Vedas contain regulated principles of knowledge covering social, political, religious, economic, military, medicinal, chemical, physical, and metaphysical subject matter and all that may be necessary to keep the body and soul together. Above and beyond all this are specific directions for spiritual realization. Regulated knowledge involves a gradual raising of the living entity to the spiritual platform. And the highest spiritual realization is knowledge that the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all spiritual tastes, or rasas. Every living entity, beginning from Brahma, the firstborn living being within the material world, down to the insignificant ant, desires to relish some sort of taste derived from sense perceptions. That's the problem, right? Material sense perceptions. These sensual pleasures are technically called rasas. Such rasas are of different varieties. In the revealed scriptures, the following 12 varieties of rasas are enumerated. Now this list, this is true materially or spiritually. We're all looking for rasa. The problem with material rasa is that they're chapala, they're flickering. They're not satisfying. Therefore, Govinda Das says, you know, chapala sukha labha lagire. Aren't you ashamed, Prabhupada says in the purport, aren't you ashamed tracing this flickering, momentous enjoyment? He's talking about sex life. Aren't you ashamed? Adini Jamini Jagire. Day and night, you're working so hard for this, for Chapalasukh. But we're of Krishna, so we're constantly seeking pleasure. So because it's Chapala, it's frustrating. We need an ocean of pleasure. Now here are the name. Here are the lists of the rasas. We're either seeking materially or spiritually. 1. Raudra, anger. 2. Adbhuta, wonder. 3. Shringar, conjugal love. 4. Hasya, comedy. 5. Vira, chivalry. 6. Daya, mercy. 7. Dasya, servitorship. 8. Sakya, fraternity. 9. Bhayanaka, horror. 10. Bibhatsa, shock. And 11. Shanta, neutrality. 12. Vatsalya, parenthood. The sum total of all these rasas is called affection or love. But so those are the constituents of love, these flavors. Primarily, such signs of love are manifested in adoration, service, friendship, paternal affection, and conjugal love. I think it's supposed to say parental there. It just says paternal. Anyway. And when these five are absent, love is present indirectly in anger, wonder, comedy, chivalry, fear, shock, and so on. For example, when a man is in love with a woman, the rasa is called conjugal love. But when such love affairs are disturbed, there may be wonder, anger, shock, or even horror. Sometimes love affairs between two persons culminate in ghastly murder scenes. Such rasas are displayed between man and woman and between animal and animal. There is no possibility. This line is going to come as a shock to all the dog lovers of the world. There is no possibility of an exchange or rasa between a man and an animal, or between a man and any other species of living beings within the material world. There might be some imitation of it, but it's not real rasa. The rasas are exchanged between members of the same species, but as far as the spirit souls are concerned, they are one qualitatively with the Supreme Lord. So now Prabhupada turns. He's been talking about mundane chapala rasa, and now he's going to turn it, and here's how we're going to connect with Krishna. But as far as the spirit souls are concerned, they are one qualitatively with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the rasas were originally exchanged between the spiritual living being and the spiritual whole, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual exchange, or rasa, is fully exhibited in spiritual existence between the living beings and the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is therefore described in the Shruti Mantras, Vedic hymns, as the fountainhead of all rasas, like that little booklet we sometimes distribute at Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna, he's called Akila Rasamrita Sindhu. He's the ocean of all rasas, or relationships, or tastes. And that's our beloved. That's really the person we're looking for. In the wrong places. When one associates with the Supreme Lord and exchanges one's constitutional rasa with the Lord, then the living being is actually happy, because that's based on eternal, unmotivated, unconditional service, love. These Shruti mantras indicate that every living being has its constitutional position, which is endowed with a particular type of rasa, to be exchanged with the personality of Godhead. In the liberated condition only, this primary rasa is experienced in full. In the material existence, the rasa is experienced in the perverted form, which is temporary. And thus, the rasas of the material world are exhibited in the material form of raudra, anger, and so on. Just before I left America in August, I was visiting my daughter in California, and I took her to see Romeo and Juliet, because it's a tragedy. It's a love story, but it's a tragedy. And at one point in the dialogue between Juliet and Romeo, and because they know their love is hopeless, because they're both from, you know, rival families, and there's going to be some hell to pay for this, but they're so consumed by passion for each other, and literally that's what happens. They both commit suicide, if you know the play. So at one point in the dialogue, Juliet says to Romeo, "Oh, Romeo, Romeo,
Thou art of the God of my idolatry. She knows it. She's making Romeo a false god, an idol. Thou art the God of my idolatry. She knows it's hopeless, but she can't help it because she's impelled by Rajagun. And that's which, you know, that's hopeless. Anyway, so it was good. It was a love story, but it ended in, you know, they killed each other. I mean, separately, suicide. So that's, what is it? Bhayanaka, horror. Prabhupada continues. Therefore, one who attains full knowledge of these different rasas, which are the basic principles of activities, can understand the false representations of the original rasas, which are reflected in the material world. The learned scholar seeks to relish the real rasa in the spiritual form. In the beginning, he desires to become one with the Supreme. Thus, less intelligent transcendentalists cannot go beyond this conception of becoming one with the spirit whole without knowing of the different rasas. In this shloka, it is definitely stated that spiritual rasa, which is relished even in the liberated stage, can be experienced in the literature of the Srimad Bhagavatam due to its being the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. So that's really, that's really quite an ad for the Bhagavatam. I mean, if we really are listening attentively, you know, with full attention, we can experience rasa with Krishna in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this shloka, I just read it. I'll read it again. In this shloka, it is definitely stated that spiritual rasa, which is relished even in the liberated stage, can be experienced in the literature of the Srimad Bhagavatam due to its being the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. By submissively hearing, that's the key, and that's not easy in Kali Yuga. We just got to kick out. And don't invite your mind to reading the Bhagavatam either. We said disinvite your mind to japa, disinvite your mind to hearing the Bhagavatam. It's going to be, you know, raising its fist. Okay, by submissively hearing this transcendental literature, one can attain the full pleasure of its heart's desire. But one must be very careful to hear the message from the right source. Srimad Bhagavatam is exactly received from the right source. It was brought by Narad Muni from the spiritual world and given to his disciple, Sri Vyasadeva. The latter in turn delivered the message to his son, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, and Srila Shukadeva Goswami delivered the message to Maharaj Parikshit just 7 days before the king's death. Srila Shukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul from his very birth. He was liberated even in the womb of his mother, and he did not undergo any sort of spiritual training after his birth. At birth, no one is qualified, neither in the mundane nor in the spiritual sense, but Sri Shukadeva Goswami, due to his being a perfectly liberated soul, did not have to undergo an evolutionary process for spiritual realization. Yet despite his being a completely liberated person situated in the transcendental position above the three material modes, he was attracted to this transcendental rasa of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was adored by liberated souls who sing Vedic hymns. The Supreme Lord's pastimes are more attractive to liberated souls than to mundane people. He is of necessity not impersonal because it is only possible to carry on transcendental rasa with a person. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are narrated, and if the narration is systematically depicted, and the narration is systematically depicted by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Thus, the subject matter is appealing to all classes of persons, including those who seek liberation and those who seek to become one with the Supreme Whole. In Sanskrit, the parrot is also known as shuka. When a ripened fruit is cut by the red beaks of such birds, its sweet flavor is enhanced. The Vedic fruit, which is mature and ripe in knowledge, is spoken through the lips of Sri Shukadeva Goswami, who is compared to the parrot not for his ability to recite the Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from his learned father, but for his ability to present the work in a manner that would appeal to all classes of men. Now, I'll read that again. The Vedic fruit, which is mature and ripe in knowledge, is spoken through the lips of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who was compared to the parrot, not for his ability to recite the Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from his learned father, but for his ability to present the work in a manner that would appeal to all classes of men. We have to let the Bhagavatam own us, and we have to own the Bhagavatam so we can get realization and repeat it with rasa. The subject matter is so presented through the lips of Srila Shukadeva Goswami that any sincere listener that hears submissively can at once relish transcendental tastes which are distinct from the perverted tastes of the material world. You see how Prabhupada keeps coming back to the same point. He's always on message. He's always circling around his points. Zing, he zings it and he goes and he zings. Zing. Super teacher. The ripened fruit is not dropped all of a sudden from the highest planet of Krishna Loka. Rather, it has come down carefully through the chain of disciplic succession without change or disturbance. Foolish people who are not in the transcendental disciplic succession commit great blunders by trying to understand the highest transcendental rasa, known as the rasa dance. Those are two different words, rasa and rasa. As the rasa dance, without following in the footsteps of Shukadeva Goswami, who presents this fruit very carefully by stages of transcendental realization. One should be intelligent enough to know the position of Srimad Bhagavatam by considering personalities like Shukadeva Goswami, who deals with the subject so carefully. This process of disciplic succession of the Bhagavat school suggests that in the future also Srimad Bhagavatam has to be understood from a person who is factually a representative of Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Don't forget, when you say representative, that means represent. It's not just parroting, it's representing. We're going to talk about this a little bit. Since you're studying, I mean, this is a Bhakti Vaibhav class, right? This is a, yeah. Okay. A professional man who makes a business out of reciting the Bhagavatam illegally is certainly not a representative of Shukadeva Goswami. Illegal. He's not in the disciplic succession, so he's spiritually illegal. Such a man's business is only to earn his livelihood. Therefore, one should refrain from hearing the lectures of such professional men. Such men usually go to the top, to the most confidential part of the literature without undergoing the gradual process of understanding this grave subject. They usually plunge into the subject matter of the rasa dance, which is misunderstood by the foolish class of men. Some of them take this to be immoral, while others try to cover it up by their own, he said, stupid interpretations, by their own stupid interpretations. They have no desire to follow in the footsteps of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. I once handed a Bhakti Godhead to an Indian fellow at the Kmart, 1973. Wow. Oh, my God. It's like almost 40 years ago. And classic response, oh, I know Krishna. He's a great playboy. He obviously hadn't heard about Krishna in Parampara. One should conclude, therefore, that the serious student of the rasa should receive the message of Bhagavatam in the chain of disciplic succession from Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who describes the Bhagavatam from its very beginning, and not whimsically to satisfy the mundaner who has very little knowledge in transcendental science. And Prabhupada ends. Srimad Bhagavatam is so carefully presented that a sincere and serious person, Prabhupada uses that phrase a lot, sincere and serious. Not enough to be sincere. You got to act on it. You got to be serious. And serious person can at once enjoy the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge simply by drinking the nectarine juice through the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami or his bona fide representative. Was that an ecstatic purport or what? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Nigamakalpatoro galitang palang sugamakadam ritan dravasang yutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam mohuraho rasika bhuvibhavukaha.
O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature, and emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this nectary and fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectary and juice was already relishable for all, including the liberated souls of Radhadesh. No, you're beyond Jnana Mishra Bhakta. Okay, Nigama Kalpa Taro. The Vedics, the Vedas are, they're a desire tree. Why? Because, as we have been saying in previous classes, genius Krishna, our sweet Lord, knows we have come here to forget him, but he's just like a wise, kind father. He's handling us in very expert ways. So he's giving us the key to the car, and he's giving us, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then when we get frustrated, he leaves the door open so we can come back to him. So in the Bhagavad Gita, for example, chapter 15, Purushottam Yoga, the yoga of the Supreme Person, Krishna begins he begins the chapter by describing the banyan tree of the material world. You know, banyan tree is very entangling. We had the largest banyan tree of its kind in the backyard at the Honolulu temple in Hawaii, where I was living for the last 10 years. You know, it's just like, you can have a whole forest from a tree, practically. Krishna says, Urvamula madhakshakam ashvatang prahoravyayam chandangsi yasya parnani. There it is. Chandangsi yasya parnani yastang vedasa vedavit. There is a banyan tree which has its roots upward and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. So now the leaves are falling off the trees. So now we're beginning to see trees as they are, you know, how they have to tolerate, you know, the heat and the cold. And so now the trees look very pretty as long as the leaves are on the trees. And then when they fall, then you see them, you know, as it is. So that's the material world. And Krishna has decorated the material world metaphorically with the leaves of the Vedic hymns, because that's what makes the material world seem nice, you know? What is it? Yamimang pushpitang vacham. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas. Again, flowery words, pushpavach, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, result in good birth, power, and so forth. Power. You know what Mao Zedong, you know, remember Mao Zedong? You know Mao Zedong? I'm too old. I'm dating myself. Okay, Mao Zedong, you know, the big communist revolutionary. So Mao Zedong's wife, you know what she said? Most people are bewildered by sex because they've never tasted power. And Richard Nixon's Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, said, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. It's the biggest high, you know. So, result in good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say there's nothing more than this. Nanyadastitivadinaha. So we're wandering through the forest of material enjoyment, and Krishna's giving us what we think we want. Actually, we need Krishna. But we don't want him now, so he's, okay, try this toy, try that toy, try this. Therefore, you know, all the people who know a little Veda, they're saying, Dhanang Devi, O Devi, O Goddess, please give me wealth, please give me health, please give me a good spouse, Rupapati Bhajang Devi. Jai Sisi Radha Gopinath. But even when we get it, we're not satisfied. You know, we're still itching. Like poor Marasamandala Prabhu, his wife is probably tending to him. He's itching with his psoriasis, so it's no fun. But that's how the whole material world is. We have these desires, and they itch. You know, and when we try to scratch them, they get worse. And Prahlad says, you know, the cure is worse than the disease, so it never ends. Okay, so Nigama Kalpa, the Vedas are like a desire tree because they give us what we think we want. Therefore, Krishna says to Arjuna, you got to rise above the Vedas. I know you're arguing like a very nice Vedic guy, you know, in the first chapter and the second chapter too, but you got to go above this. So, to what? Galitang palam bhagavatam. This is the ripened fruit of the Vedas. When we're done, when we're really done, when we're akinchana, when we're exhausted, when we've had it, no more. Then we're ready for Bhagavatam. Otherwise we can't relish Bhagavatam because we're chasing the other stuff. You know the old story how they catch a monkey in Vrindavan. You know, they put a sweet in a bottle and the monkey can get his hand in the bottle as long as he's like this, but then he clutches the sweet and he can't get out. Right? So that's how we are. You know, we say we want spiritual life in the neophyte stage, but we're attached, so we can't. I want both. You know, I want. Doesn't go. It doesn't work that way. Temple president of mine, 1975. We were in Chicago. Prabhupada visited Chicago for the first time. Famous Ratha Yatra. All the Radha Damodar traveling parties came, and Prabhupada's there. And it was the first time a pure devotee was there since Vivekananda had come in 1893. 81 years later, finally a pure devotee's come. So my temple president, Amarendra Prabhu, he said to Srila Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, what is sense gratification? Is it a figment of my imagination? Is it real? Is it, what is it? You know? No problem with it.
Sense gratification is real because it comes from Krishna.
And then Prabhupada, he says, it's real. And then he said, then he qualified, he said, but it is, and then as he said the last word, he spanned his fingers. And then as he said the word, he began to close his fingers. And by the time he got to the end of the word, you could barely see a space between his fingers.
Sense gratification is real. It comes from Krishna. But it is restricted.
And then by the time he said the D and restricted, you could barely see a space between his fingers. That's what's going on here. You know, it's restricted. And there, we require an ocean of rasa, of taste, of pleasure. That's only available when we get it, when we get reformed, you know, literally, when we're restored to our constitutional position, that we just want to serve Krishna. And then as we were saying yesterday, then the supply is unlimited because our desires are now constitutional. They're licit. There's no restriction in the spiritual world because it's the free flow of love. We're trying to serve Krishna. Krishna's trying to serve his devotees. It's a never-ending cycle of rasa. Okay, galitam palam. Shukamukhad amrita dravasangyutam. So Shukamukhad amrita. Srila Prabhupada made the point in the purport that Shukadev Goswami, he's called a parrot, but it's not like a parrot in the material world. There was once a parrot in the Christchurch temple. Anybody been to New Zealand? Yes? So before the earthquake, there was a parrot and his name was, he was a cockatiel or a cocka something. Cockatiel? Cockatoo. Is he a parrot? Okay, yeah, I guess so. And they nicknamed him Cocky, right? Cocky. So he was, you know, all day long he was going,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Jai Prabhupada, Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
But he had no realization. he was just mimicking the sounds, you know. So Shuka, he's a parrot, but he's such a parrot that by touching the fruit, you know, the ripened fruit of the Vedic literature, the Bhagavatam, he makes it sweeter. And this is what we are enjoined to do. This whole thing I brought up yesterday about principles and details, you know, what's an eternal principle and what's an adjustable detail. Well, Prabhupada, listen to this. I have a couple of references. Here's what it means to represent the message. And this takes a lot of blessings, a lot of mercy, and we can't be lazy. Listen to this. This is in the appearance of Sri Narada. You'll be studying it. It's the fourth chapter of the first canto. And to start the chapter, it's 141. Make a note, 141. Read this. This is really good. Shonaka Rishi is congratulating Suta Goswami. And it's a whole, and Prabhupada gets into the qualifications one has to have to even congratulate somebody. And then it says, Sri Shonaka Rishi had all these qualifications. It mentioned all these great qualifications. And thus he stood up to congratulate Sri Suta Goswami when he expressed his desire to present Srimad Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from Shukadeva Goswami and also realized it personally. Now he wants to present it exactly, but now Prabhupada talks about what he means by exactly. It doesn't mean parroting. It doesn't mean the same letters of the law. We say in English, you know, there's the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. So here's what Prabhupada means by repeating it exactly. Personal realization does not mean that one should, out of vanity, attempt to show one's own learning by trying to surpass the previous acharya. So first of all, it's about motive. You're not speaking just to try to show off. And that's what the Munis, that's what everybody does in the material world. You can't make a name unless you best somebody else, the previous guy. So that's not the motive. He must have full confidence in the previous acharya. He's not trying to show up the previous acharya, surpass him. He must have full confidence. And at the same time, he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in a suitable manner. The original purpose of the text must be maintained. That's in italics, so that's Prabhupada's italics. The original purpose of the text must be maintained. That's what doesn't change. The intent of the previous acharyas of Krishna. The original purpose, the intent, doesn't change. No obscure meaning should be screwed out of it, yet it should be presented in an interesting manner for the understanding of the audience. This is called realization. So that's realization. How to represent it just appropriate for the time, place, and audience. You know, the packaging's always changing because the circumstances and the people are always changing. But the intent is constant. Similarly, listen to this one. 1.5.16, next chapter, 16th verse, purport, Prabhupada says, the expert devotees also can discover novel ways and means to convert the non-devotees in terms of particular time and circumstance. Devotional service is dynamic activity, and the expert devotees can find out competent means to inject it into the dull brains of the materialistic population. As it is. Such transcendental activities of the devotees for the service of the Lord can bring a new order of life to the foolish society of materialistic men. Okay, and then the last thing I wanted to say is Muhuraho Rasika, which means, therefore, the Rasika devotees. No, that's just me. Muhuraho Rasika, what does it say? Oh! Those who are in full in the knowledge. Okay. Oh, what is it? Oh, expert and thoughtful men. Because Sanskrit and English are differently ordered. In English, it's all about word order. In Sanskrit, it's about inflections, word endings. So that's why the last part of the Sanskrit sometimes is the first in the English. So, oh, expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam. This is, and it's relishable for all, including liberated souls. Okay. It's after 8:30. I'm tempted to tell a Prabhupada story about how he expertly represented something. Do I have? No. But maybe I should. Because my favorite part of class is always the questions and answers. And I hate it when the speaker shortchanges the questions and answers. Are there any questions and answers? Are questions? Yes. Did I tell this story before about Prabhupada in Detroit, opening up the Detroit temple? Okay. This is a great example of how to represent the message according to time, place, and people. 1975, it's called Deva Sadan Mandir. It's in Detroit. And if you know the history a little bit, it used to be a mansion. You know, this is a castle, but at least that was a mansion. It was a mansion owned by an auto aristocrat named Larry Fisher. Lawrence P., it used to say on the cars, body by Fisher. He was the auto body baron. Okay. He built this mansion in 1927 with $1 million, which is like so many more than today. Prabhupada got the place in 1974 for $300,000 cash. And he said each room is worth the price. Anyway, I think Ambarish poured $1 million at the time, U.S., into just fixing it up. So in 1975, they have a grand opening of the former Fisher Mansion, which had been, you know, like abandoned for years. So by that time, two famous people had joined the Detroit Temple. The great-grandson of Henry Ford, you know, Ambarish Prabhu, who's now, you know, absorbed in building the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. And the opposite side of the aisle was labor. You know, there was labor and management. So the Gandhi of the American labor movement, whose name is Walter Reuther, you probably never heard of him, but he's a famous figure in American labor history. His daughter joined the movement. Lisa Reuther became Lekha Shavanti Devi Dasi. And so they both joined within a year or two of each other. It was big news in the press, you know, labor and management find harmony in the Krishnas or something like that, you know, because it was typical, you know, opposites coming together around Krishna. And so when they opened the temple, Prabhupada was there. He came for the opening. And the devotees invited all the auto aristocracy of Detroit, you know, to come. So there are all these, you know, these guys in their black ties and suits and the ladies with their pearls, you know, and their gowns. And I mean, people that would never get within 100 miles of a Krishna temple in America in those days, you know, for fear of losing their prestige, right? So, and you can see pictures of this, and you can hear recordings, and here's how I know, because you can hear the class. So here are these people, they're coming in Prabhupada's room, and he's giving darshan. Some of them are even sitting on the floor, you know, on cushions, and some are in chairs, you know. How is he going to handle these people, you know? So he's, you know what he does? He starts talking about his old 1925 Buick car. The Buick is a make of car that he used when he was selling pharmaceuticals, you know, for Bose's labs in the 20s, when he was a young man as the top notch, you know, pharmaceutical salesman. He was the best salesman, and he didn't drive it himself. He had an assistant drive the car for him, you know. And he just was telling story after story of this going wrong and that going wrong with the car. And he had these people laughing so hard, because they know they're cheaters. They build these cars to break. They didn't at first, but they did in the 1940s. They realized that they weren't going to sell any more cars unless they built in obsolescence. It's called planned obsolescence, right? They built them to break. So big cheaters, big time. So they were laughing so hard. Yeah, you know, they could relate exactly to what Prabhupada was talking about, the part, this part, that part, and they were in stitches. So just at the right teachable moment, what does this divine grace do?
So the car is like the body. This car is like the body.
And he goes into the whole Upanishadic metaphor. You know, the horses are the horsepower now, you know, are the senses. The reins are the mind. Intelligence is the driver. And the soul is the passenger. And they got it. They got it. That we're not this body. I don't know what they did with it, but, you know, they understood what Prabhupada's talking about. Because Prabhupada had the kindness and compassion and the buddhi, the transcendental intelligence, to go right where they were, lead them by the hand, to first base, you know, as we say in baseball, to first thing, you know, just you're not this body. And they understood it. And then Prabhupada starts talking about how we're not the body. It was great. I mean, it was... And that is a great example of how, on the one hand, you know, Prabhupada would sometimes say, if I have any credit, it's that I haven't changed anything. But we just heard yesterday, What did he change? He had men and women living in the same temples. Hello? Right? And that was a complete no-no for his god brothers. It was a complete violation of Shastra and Vaishnav, everything, you know. But Prabhupada saw it as a lower principle. The higher principle is access to Mahaprabhu's mercy. So it takes, this is called realization. When you know how to represent according to the time, place, and people. And you can't fake that. And again, I think I've brought this up to you, but if you want to know what it takes to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, you got to read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 23, text 105, where Mahaprabhu in the verse is talking about Shushka Vairagya, dry renunciation, and Yukta Vairagya, practical renunciation. And Prabhupada takes the opportunity of that verse to describe what you have to do to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And he starts by just comparing America and India, and he says it's completely different. The way you introduce it, the way you spread it, is totally different. So, yeah. Shush, and he talks about niyamagraha, you know, fanatically following the rules, and niyamagraha, fanatically dismissing the rules. You know, it's that razor's edge, you know, right down the middle to Krishna's lotus feet. You got to read this purport. It's great. It's fantastic. It doesn't come cheap. Only by dint of Prabhupada's unprecedented surrender to the order of Krishna, Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, the whole parampara, was he empowered to know how to do it. So maybe we can't imitate it, but we can certainly follow and know, you know, get a sense of what's appropriate for time, place, and people, and have the compassion to go where people are and to bring them, you know, in a way they can relate to Krishna's lotus feet. Better? Questions? Okay, guys, it's your turn. Yes, Madan Gopal Prabhu. Yes. Yeah, they were all out of order, weren't they? They were all mixed up. And Prabhupada makes the point that the five, you know, the five main ones are constant. But sometimes the minor ones, they take center stage as a kind of a spice, you know. Like Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, it's Parakya above, right? The lawless love of Krishna and the gopis. But sometimes it's flavored by, you know, anger, and that takes prominence, or comedy, you know. So what we're experiencing in this material world is simply a pale, paltry, you know, tease. I call it a tease. That's Maya. Maya is a great teaser. Maya is a great advertiser, you know. Come, it's like you hear one tape, Prabhupada's talking about the yoga system in L.A., and you hear this ice cream truck outside. It's the Good Humor Man. In America, there's a guy named the Good Humor Man. That's interesting. That's another synonym for rasa, the Good Humor Man. And he's an ice cream salesman. And so you hear right outside the window, he's ring, ring, and you hear Prabhupada. What is that? It's the ice cream man, Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada starts chuckling. He says, "This is Maya. Come on, come on, enjoy me. Come on, enjoy me. And I will kick you." What do you want to know about rasa? All I know is what I hear in the Bhagavatam, and I try to... Yeah, let's look at the sea. I don't know if there's any method to the divine madness here. Yeah, the end is parenthood. Prabhupada starts with the minor ones. Anger, wonder, conjugal, then he mixes conjugal love, comedy. I don't know. Vaishnavera kriya mudra vigehana bujoy. It's very hard to know the mind of a Vaishnava, especially a Vaishnava of Prabhupada's caliber. So I know this was cruel and unusual punishment, me giving class 3 days in a row. Thank you for your tolerance. Madhaji. Oh, it's a matter of just waking up. I mean, there's always benefit, but it's you know, we come for our material reasons. You know, we're suffering, we're broke, we're curious, we're wise, but it's really about me. You know, we have to, as we practice, we have to really take to the process submissively here, so that we do fall in love with Krishna. Otherwise, we'll become we'll be wearing in America they have a bumper sticker or a T-shirt. You've seen this one? My karma ran over my dogma. It's a pun on car and dog, right? My karma ran over my dogma. What does that mean? Does anybody know? The momentum, the velocity, the power of my material desires got the better of my superficial spirituality. That's a warning. My karma ran over my dogma. So we have to progress. We're only part of the Hare Krishna movement as much as we're actually moving. We also say in America, even if you're on the right track, if you don't keep moving, sooner or later you're going to get run over. Right? So we really have to keep moving. And how do we keep moving? We keep hearing, we keep applying. It's no mystery. We have to fall in love with Krishna. What is austerity of the mind? This is 17:16 Gita. This is nice. Manak prasadak saum yadvang maunamatma vinigraha bhavasang shuddhiratye tattapo manasamuchyate. And serenity, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purity of thought are the austerities of the mind. And long story short, by the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, you can't stop your mind, but you can divert it. You can divert it. It's like you have a big force coming down a hill, and you can't. It's hard to stop it, but it's easier to divert its course. So Prabhupada says, we have to divert our minds to the Vedic literature, which is full of satisfying stories. And then he mentions Ramayana, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we just give up our dramas. We enter into Radha Gopinath's drama. Life is full of drama. But here it's painful, there it's blissful, and it's more interesting. So we just have to hear and serve and hear and serve. And we have to always want to try to go deeper, or else my karma is going to run over my dogma. And I'm out the door. Because we want rasa. We want taste. And if we're not getting it spiritual, you know, if we're not experiencing it in loving service to Krishna, we're going to seek it somewhere else. There's no magic quick fix, silver bullet magic. You know, it's just, Prabhupada would say that. I have no magic. It's just chant Hare Krishna. You know, and John Lennon and Yoko Ono pressed him on this famous story. What is your magic? We want to help the world. And Prabhupada got so disgusted with him, he finally said,
it is said that one should not cast one's pearls before swine. Whoa.
And at that point, Yoko went ballistic, started cursing Prabhupada out, and Prabhupada left the next day. But first he liberated her Japanese maple tree she just planted at Tittenhurst. That's another story. Okay, so it's all there in sound. If we're really listening, we got to forget the mind, you know, forget the mind's movies, hankering, lamenting. Be here now with Krishna. It's late. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.